Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Taxes was waiting around for your taxes to be done, which led to worrying about not getting any money back. Now Taxes is matching with a TurboTax expert who can do your taxes in a day to get you up to $4,000 fast with a refund advance loan. Now this is Taxes. Intuit TurboTax. Get an expert now on TurboTax.com. Expert filing only available with TurboTax Live Full Service. Refund advance has $0 loan fees and 0% APR. Refund advance loans may be issued by First Century Bank, N.A. or Web Bank. Terms apply, subject to approval.
As they're reacting to the video, being, oh my God, how? Oh, mashallah. And it's the most manufactured fake video I've seen on the internet. I'm like, who's falling for these? And then I found out that it's them. Welcome back, guys, to the Cousin
Connection
Podcast. And Eid
Mubarak.
We're going to say it together? My bad. Okay. We're literally recording this on Eid Day, which I know is like a big no-no because, you know, you're supposed to be out and about and stuff. But, you know, due to certain circumstances and things happening today, one thing I'm realizing is that, like, I used to dream about having Eid on a weekend. But now I'm kind of regretting it because there are so many things that happen on a weekend, especially in the summer, whether it be like weddings or like people visiting or just a culmination of a bunch of different things. Usually you do that for the weekend. But then on Eid Day, usually you're taking time off work and like there's not that much going on during the week. So you have like you feel like you can do more. There's less people on the streets, at least midway through the day, not a rush hour, but.
That's true.
It's not like it changes anything in Toronto. Like, even for us, coming from the center where we prayed Eid prayer to here was just like any other day with traffic.
But on my way there, I'm not going to lie, I was zooming.
Really?
Took me like 20.
Oh, yeah. In the morning, it was perfectly fine because that was like early in the morning. But coming back, it took like an hour.
I know.
Yeah. But, you know, we're kind of getting this in because you know why? Because we love you guys. And we want to make sure.
Dedicated.
Yeah, exactly. We're going to make sure you're not left empty handed. When the podcast comes out this week, inshallah, you know, we're not saying we're gonna give you a full podcast, you know, because
we
still got stuff to do. We got places to go after this, but you know, we wanted to give you something, right?
Some substance,
exactly.
You know, a little bit of some, a little light listening,
yeah,
an Eid special, if you will.
Yeah, and today is actually specifically for those who might not know, you know, the 5% of our audience is Eid al-Adha, which is. I mean, Sara could explain.
I knew you were going to hear that. Oh, I knew it, but I'm sweating already.
You explained it so well in the car.
Did I?
Did you not? Oh, am I thinking about the khutbah? My bad. I feel like I'm picking up on your mic.
Yeah, you're so loud. And Amir, damn.
I know, it is hot in here. It's also, because we didn't know we were going to be recording this today, I didn't prepare this room. Usually I'll put on the AC like 30 minutes to an hour beforehand. Didn't get the chance to do that. So if we're profusely sweating throughout this podcast, if the camera doesn't look like it's set up properly, if the sound is kind of off, please forgive us. It is Eid, okay?
Don't judge me for pulling up the summary of what Eid al-Adha is. As
you know, it's as long as they have a simple understanding of it, okay?
Yeah, essentially, Eid al-Adha is the second Eid of the year. So, you know, I think a lot of people... whether you're Muslim or not, or the non-Muslims know about Eid al-Fitr, which is the Eid that comes right after Ramadan. We celebrate the completion of the fasting.
Mm-hmm.
And then exactly 2 months, using the lunar calendar, of course, 2 months and 10 days after Eid al-Fitr is Eid al-Adha.
Mm-hmm.
Also, which is when Hajj season is.
Mm-hmm.
So for those Muslim brothers and sisters,
may Allah bless whoever is on Hajj currently and accept your dua and accept your Hajj.
Yeah.
I know a couple people that are there.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. Oh. Well, like they're not younger like us, you know, they're a little older, but still.
Yeah. May Allah, you know, grant us the ability to do Hajj one day, inshallah.
Yeah. Even Umrah, honestly, you know, Allah, if you want to hook me up with a Umrah trip one day, inshallah. make dua for it.
Not you asking. Inshallah. But Eid al-Adha is basically when they do the, you know how a lot, like for the non-Muslims who are watching this, if you have Muslim friends and you mm-hmm. see whenever they're posting about Eid al-Adha, like there's usually like a sheep or
a goat
yeah. that's included in the visuals. Mm-hmm. It's because it's Islamic tradition. Is this Sunnah? Hold on.
You know what's funny? Oh, yeah. No, I was going to say, you know what's funny about that? I never thought about this, but I saw a post recently someone made. I think it was Jasmine.
I was literally going to mention that. I was like, no way.
I never thought about that. Like, it's basically like whenever Eid is coming up. Yeah, they basically have like an Uber Eats, but with goats. Yeah. And it literally has pictures of the individual goats.
Yeah.
And with their price under it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. And like some of the comments were like, yo, these goats are more photogenic than I am.
Yeah, I saw that. Which, subhanAllah, like, I mean, she lives in Dubai. And I think that Dubai is just a different level. Like, they really take convenience to a whole different level. Mm-hmm. Like, in the past, when I have done Eid, like, in Ethiopia, I remember, like, our aunt actually took me to this, like, open
market.
Yeah, it was, like, an open field with, like, cows, sheep,
goats. You literally went to the farm.
Yeah, and we picked
one. Oh, you picked one?
Yeah. She was like, pick which one. Like, obviously, she picked it. Yeah. But, like, she made me think.
Is there like a thing that you have to look for?
Yeah, you look for one that's like thick because you want more meat on it.
Ah.
Yeah, you're not gonna get a scrawny little sheep.
Yeah.
You want something like juicy, you know?
And did you like have to carry it back all the way home?
No.
What?
She got someone to do. Listen.
They made me carry a goat. Yeah, when I went, it wasn't for Eid. It wasn't for Eid, but like years ago.
When you were a child?
Yeah, when I went for Kubba.
You were like five.
No, they had like a I was like 13 at the time when I went
and
there.
And they made you carry.
Yeah, like I forget why we got a. I think it was just to get a goat because the family was over. Well, yeah. We were over, and we went outside of the city, like right outside the gates.
Yeah.
And we picked up a goat there, and I like literally had to walk it back. There was a couple times where it just stopped walking, and I had to pick it up and hold it. It was like 70 pounds, something like that. This is what I was like.
Stop.
Maybe working out a little bit, but I didn't officially. It's like, you know, just a little stuff you do in gym class, right? So I couldn't really lift this thing like that, but I don't know where the strength came from. But I carried it through the city. And like, as I'm walking through the city, all these little kids just start running around me.
Why?
And they all, in both Amharic and in Gaysanan or Harari, they're like, oh, like they're making this motion. Like they're making the like, I'll cut its neck motion and be like, let me do it for you. You don't just pay me. I'll do it for you. Like all the kids are like, oh, let me. They were having fun, man. And we brought him to the house. And, you know, everybody knows the typical story. You're chilling with a goat one day. And then you wake up in the morning. You smell some nice food. You notice the goat's not there anymore. You look down at your plate and like, and there he is. And then you pick him up. And you put it in your mouth.
It's very sad. But the reason why Muslims sacrifice a goat or sheep is to commemorate the story of Prophet Ibrahim, alayhi salam. He was ordered by God to basically, at the time, he was supposed to sacrifice his son Ismail as an act of obedience to God. So he was willing to do it. And the story basically is narrated to us that when he was going to take the knife to slaughter his son, the knife became dull, and so he couldn't actually slaughter.
Mm-hmm. Oh, did it? Because I don't remember the dull part. I just remember that he couldn't cut.
Yeah, because it was dull. Like it wasn't sharp enough to actually cut him. Mm-hmm. And so the willingness of Prophet Ibrahim to obey Allah in his command, basically Allah willed for Ismail to not be sacrificed, but
for the knife not to cut. Basically,
the knife not to cut. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So Muslims now slaughter. A sheep, is it a sheep or a goat?
Because then a goat was given in its place.
A sheep, yeah.
Or a sheep.
Yeah, and so that's why Muslims do it. I think.
Well, like the lesson to take away from that whole story
was the reliance on God, because obviously, you know, sacrificing your child is not something easy, and you know, Prophet Ibrahim, ultimately, you know, is the example of fulfilling your obligations and what God orders you to do, even going against your nafs, like going against your lower self, to do what you're obligated to do, basically.
And even in that story, Ismail alayhi salam, he Yeah, he was also a prophet. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. he also, when his father actually like revealed to him like why they were there, because I think when they got to the field, they're like, "Yo, pops, where's this animal that we're about to kill?" He's like, "I'm sorry, bro." Like, he said that I have to kill you, or slaughter you. He's like, "Okay, you know, if that's what Allah ordered you to do, he's like, that's what we have to do, I guess."
And he instructed, you know, Prophet Ibrahim to move his clothing so that he doesn't get any blood on it, so that his mother doesn't.
So he was also willing to follow the orders that Allah gave him, right? So, and I think that, that takeaway that from it is like to always rely on Allah. Like, even if in that case it doesn't make sense, like you're like, why is this happening? Why are you doing this? Like, you have to rely on Allah at the end of the day.
And have patience.
And have patience, exactly.
Like, true tawakkul. Like, sometimes, you know, when fulfilling obligations seem like mission.
89% of business leaders say AI is a top priority. But with AI tools popping up everywhere, how do you separate the helpful from the hype? The right choice is crucial, which is why teams at 1/3 of Fortune 500 companies use Grammarly. With over 15 years of experience building responsible, secure AI, Grammarly isn't just another AI communication assistant. It's how companies like yours increase productivity while keeping data protected and private. Designed to fit the needs of business, Grammarly is backed by a user-first privacy policy and industry-leading security credentials. This means you won't have to worry about the safety of your company information. Grammarly also emphasizes responsible AI, so your company can avoid harmful bias. See why 70,000 teams and 30 million people trust Grammarly at grammarly.com/enterprise. That's grammarly.com/enterprise. Grammarly, enterprise-ready AI.
Some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a huge inheritance. But a phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard for a new one on us. Just trade in any phone from our top brands with select unlimited plans.
$829.99 purchase with new smartphone line on select unlimited plans. Minimum $90 per month with auto pay plus taxes and fees for 36 months required. Less $830 trade-in slash promo credit applied over 36 months. Trade-in terms apply. Payoff phone requires smartphone purchase and port-in with new smartphone line on select plan. Must provide most recent bill showing payoff amount of eligible phone. Additional terms apply.
Impossible or just it's difficult for you. Mm-hmm. Why did you just turn me up a little?
Yeah, a little bit.
I noticed. when it seems difficult, you know, try your best to remain steadfast in doing your obligations. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we are obligated to do certain things because at the end of the day, our purpose in this dunya, in this life, is to obey God. That's point blank, period. Like, that's literally our purpose. So while we are working towards our akhirah, yes, you know, we work towards our dunya as well, and we have our accomplishments in this life, but at the end of the day, life is so short and tomorrow's never promised. So even if we're working hard for this life, tomorrow is not promised. So at the end of the day, we know what's waiting for us in our akhirah. We might as well, that's the true test, right? Like really working hard to stack up our good deeds and prepare for our forever home in the future, inshallah. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, may Allah grant us paradise and keep us steadfast in our religion, of course.
Yeah.
But
especially these days, like, I feel like these days is where the Muslims' sabr is being tested the most.
Yeah.
Especially with what's happening in Palestine and like
Sudan,
Congo,
Yemen,
everywhere around the world. Currently, Muslims are being tested with things that are unimaginable to us here in the West, basically, right? So
this world is meant to be a trial, though. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, yes, Allah blesses some of us with ease,
but even that can be a test in itself.
Yeah.
Sometimes, okay, I don't want to say it's a harder test, but sometimes the tests that are less obvious are probably the hardest ones for people to pass, because like when things are made easy for you and like and you kind of get looser on your, not obligations, but like your nafs. When your nafs is made so defenseless, not defenseless, but your defenses are down, that's when you're kind of easier to be taken on by like the jinn and like all the temptations, essentially, right? Because you're not, every day you're not tested like the people are in, like in the places that we mentioned, right? Where their faith is being challenged in their face, like constantly every single day, where their kids are being, you know, unalived right in front of them, or they're not able to find the food or the water that they need for the day, whether it be for them or for their kids. But us, like when you have everything, your defenses are down at that point, right?
Yeah, some people are.
You forget to thank Allah for a lot of things that you're given, for the blessings that you do have.
Yeah.
Which then leads you to like arrogance, and the arrogance leads you to like falling short in a lot of things that you should be doing as a Muslim.
Yeah, like you're either tested with hardship and the test is to remain patient and steadfast in your obligations and to trust God's plan, basically. Mm-hmm. Or like Amir said, like you maybe are blessed with a lot of convenience and ease and riches.
Mm-hmm. Wait, and did I use that right? That word right? Nafs? Nafs is like your
self.
Yourself, right?
Yeah.
Like your inner
your
self.
Lower self.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I got you.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I just want to make sure. As I was saying that, I was like, did I use that word right?
You did.
Okay. Yeah. I just want to make sure.
No, yeah. But like exactly to your point is like, you know, you could be blessed with a life of ease and convenience and wealth and health, but it's what you do with it. That's your test, right? Like you could have a lot of money and be really greedy, stingy. You know, maybe the money that you're acquiring is coming from a haram source.
Yeah.
So everyone's test is different in this life. But as long as we all know and remind ourselves that at the end of the day, this isn't the end all be all for us. Mm-hmm. Like what we're working towards in this life is always going to be temporary.
Yeah.
It's what we do in this life for our akhirah that's the most important.
And just an Eid in general, you know, let's get back to more of like, you know,
a lighthearted topic.
Lighthearted topic.
Sorry, a little bit of a da'wah for
a
y'all.
A sort of lighthearted topic because like just the fact that we're even recording podcasts like Eid, as you get older, I don't know if it's a sign of just our age older, but like just Eid has changed over the years. Or maybe as kids, there are kids these days that are still doing the things that we used to do. Like when did it stop? When did that shift happen to where like, you know, you'd have everything prepared ahead of time for Eid. You had like the news clothes ready and like you had a plan for the day. Actually, we didn't even have plans technically. It's our parents who made the plans.
You know what it is?
Yeah.
I think as we like, so in the past, and I think we've talked about this a few times, we used to always rotate between our houses for an Eid barbecue. And then, you know, some of the people in our cousin circle kind of moved away.
Yeah.
So the circle kind of got smaller. And then I think a couple times we did like brunch or lunch or whatever. And then it turned into our parents, mashallah, they have volunteered at our local community where they would make breakfast.
Yeah.
And ever since they started doing that, all plans went out the window.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Remember? Because like we would want to do things, but then one of us would have to go and pick them up or whatever. Anyways. Besides
the point. Yeah, that has changed a lot. But also, I think also like the fact that you mentioned everybody's like moving out. Now, I feel like the fact that everything's become more global or like we're part of like more of a global community now. And people are moving away and like they're kind of making their own communities elsewhere. The original community does suffer a little bit from that. But I think it just requires us to kind of readjust for that.
Yeah.
And I feel like as we get older, you know, when we start getting married and having kids and stuff like that, we can start to build that back up again. Because now we're getting to that age where we are around the same age that our parents were when they started getting married and having kids.
Yeah.
So, like, there's still time. We're still technically young.
No, we are. And we even if we're dispersed throughout the day, I feel like we usually come together for, like, dinner or something at nighttime.
But it is getting harder, clearly.
It is. But you know what? It's because there's like 17 things going on today. And
yeah, today Amir
and I kind of just looked at each other like, what should we do?
Yeah, let's today go record. Is unique. Actually, the plan originally was to record this literally in our car at the center.
Oh, yeah.
Because we had like so many things planned and then something came up last minute that like affected the whole community. So everything kind of had to be readjusted for that.
Yeah.
So now, you know, we're making it work.
Yeah, but I think so.
Yeah, so hopefully whoever is listening to this, this is going to be after Eid, of course. You guys had a fun Eid. I feel like maybe this situation that we're currently having, we're trying to figure out, like, trying to get back into the groove is maybe unique to our group. And maybe every group goes through it.
Maybe.
Like, because I just still do see, like, people, whether it be the community in Australia or A lot of the South Asian communities here, they do have a lot of those practices still in place.
Like go to someone's family's
exactly,
house.
Exactly. Because that is like the meme on the internet, right? After it eight, is. Everybody goes to someone's house. They all take like a 5-hour nap. And then they find out something to do in like dinner or lunch.
I feel like we will get back into that tradition like when we start having kids.
Exactly.
And then we'll all, you know, meet up at one of our houses with the kids and we're just going to reminisce and be like, remember when we used to do this?
Hey, we just all got to start living in the same place. That also does play a big factor. I know we always talk about this, but the fact that like real estate is so hard to come by, good real estate, and then all living in a similar area.
Yeah.
Like nowadays you're driving at least minimum 2 hours a day just to get between people's houses.
Yeah.
So that plays a big part in it as well. And I think the reason that everybody had to kind of figure out something to do that was cheap back in the day and like the options were very limited is because like if you think about it, when we grew up, a lot of our parents had like we were living in like lower income places, right?
Yeah.
So the cheapest thing to do is to go to someone's house.
Actually,
make lunch or breakfast.
used to also do Chuck E. Cheese a lot.
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
Actually, yeah, we did do Chuck E.
Like,
Cheese.
I don't know how much Chuck E. Cheese was, but in my opinion, that's cheap so because easy. They just throw us all there.
Exactly. And if you think about it, I think Chuck E. Cheese, all the games. Oh, no, they had the coins. Yeah, I remember they had the coins. So I was about to say all the games were free, but no, you had to put in the coins for the games.
Yeah.
It must have been cheaper.
It had to have been. Mm-hmm. And then we had like the pizza. Remember the cheese pizza? Yeah. We would always eat the, oh my God.
And there's that whole controversy with like Chuck E. Cheese using like slices from different pizzas or something. Did you not hear about that? Yeah, like apparently they wouldn't cook like a whole pizza.
So
they would like put slices together from other pizzas that were like not finished yet, or they only took like a few of them from the like, people who got like slices. So some people got some slices. They would take like slices from another pizza and put it together to like form a whole pizza.
I didn't know that.
You never heard about this? No. There's a whole controversy around it.
No, I just remember like, remember
what?
The Chuck E. Cheese characters would do like a concert.
Yeah.
And he would be so scared.
The animatronics. That's where, have you heard of the game Friday at Freddy's? Freddy Fridays? Mm-hmm. Oh my God. Why am I forgetting the name? Friday Nights at Freddy's. I think that's the name of the
game.
Nights at Freddy's. Yeah. So there's actually a game that's kind of based off of those animatronics. And essentially how it goes is that there's at nighttime, these animatronics will become alive and they'll start killing kids.
That's terrifying.
And not only at night. I think, like, even if there are kids there, like, if there's a kid, like, by himself in the corner, one of them will, like, catch and, like, grab it and, like, eat it.
What is this? This is a game?
Yeah, this is a game. And, like, the game is you're supposed to be a security guard that, like, is security for the night so no one comes in and breaks in.
Okay.
And you're in a room. It's a security room. You see all the cameras.
Mm-hmm.
And essentially, you're sitting there and you notice there's, like, there are all the animatronics on the stage at first. But then you look away and when you look back, they're gone. And then on all the cameras, the point of the game is to, like, keep an eye on them as they're moving. Because when you keep an eye on them, they don't move.
Oh.
Yeah. So then, like, you'll see, like, one moves on this camera, so you go there. But then the other one's moving on the other camera. And you're supposed to, like, keep an eye on them for the whole night. And if you make it through the whole night, like, you survive, basically.
Mm-hmm.
But then if you don't, like, your door might open to the side of you. And then
they eat you?
They, like, jump out. And it does a whole jump scare. You never heard about this game?
No. Do you play this game?
There's a whole lore behind it and everything. No, I don't play these games.
I was going to say, there's
scared.
No way.
But I've watched all the playthroughs. That's with zero volume on it.
Like this, right?
Yeah. Like, wait. Oh, with my hand through it? No, nowadays you can just turn off. When you turn off the volume of anything, like, you'll be fine for the most part. I remember there was one time I was in a movie theater. I don't know if I ever talked about this, but we were in the movie to watch something. It wasn't even like a scary movie. I think it was supposed to be like a thriller. I just know the movie we were about to watch was not scary, but the trailers ahead of it were horror trailers. And they were full on showing like horror scenes, like jump scare horror scenes. And I sat there.
In a fetal position?
I plugged my ears, literally, almost literally in a fetal position. I plugged my ears and because I had my thumbs in my ears, covered my face.
I did that too.
But the sound was so loud because you're in a movie theater, right?
Yeah.
I could still hear it. I visibly started shaking. guys, when I say again, just to repeat, when I say I have a phobia of like scary movies, I think it's gotten better, but I don't want to test it. When I say I have a phobia, I mean like I will literally like uncontrollably start shaking.
Is it that bad?
Eventually vomit from how bad it is. Yeah. It's bad. It's bad. It's really bad. And yeah, I think we've told like multiple stories of these guys trying to like
scare me.
I think there was one time in a hotel room. We were all staying in a hotel room. I think it was maybe in Philadelphia. Uh-huh. And we were all chilling in there and they put on a scary movie on the TV. I can't remember if I was like stuck in the room for some reason. And I ended up fighting with someone and I ran outside of the room. You don't remember this?
I remember, but I didn't know it was because of the scary movie. I thought it was because they like
I'm pretty sure it was a scary movie. Some kind
of prank on you.
No, that's a different thing.
Oh.
Yeah. So for the scary movie, like there are multiple times where I've purposely embarrassed myself in front of people because of how not scared I got, but like them trying to test me, my fear. It's like me trying to put a bug on you.
But it has to be a specific bug.
If I try and put a centipede on you.
First of all, you would never touch one.
Huh?
You would never touch one.
Oh, I would touch one. If it meant to, I could like prank you.
That's very mean because you know.
But I'm not going
to
do it.
My heart would stop and then I would have to go to the hospital.
Exactly. So that's not why. Cool. No, but you're not. You don't test people.
You're not that afraid of. Like, mine is different. Mine is a true
Why is
phobia.
Yours different?
Because, Amir.
Why is your phobia more than, get more love, not love. Why is your phobia?
Acknowledgement.
Yeah, why does your phobia get more acknowledgement than mine?
It's not that. It's just like, you're not as deathly afraid as I am. Like,
I just said how I visibly start shaking and eventually throw up.
Amir.
From these things. Okay, just because you're not touching me.
I don't even shake. I literally freeze. Can I tell you guys this one story?
Which one?
For a centipede?
Yeah.
I'll actually die.
No, which story?
Oh, the time that this was like a long time ago, okay?
Yeah.
I think I was washing dishes after school one day. Mm-hmm. I had my snack or whatever, and then I was washing my plate, and then I was trying to dry the...
At school?
No, at home.
Oh, shoot. Why did I hear school?
It was after school.
Oh, after school. Okay.
And before I turned off the water, mm-hmm. I went to put the sponge back in the little sponge holder. Mm-hmm. And then I was going to take the little like microfiber cloth to wipe down the counter. Mm-hmm. And
Taxes was feeling so stuck. Sitting in traffic, squeezing into a parking spot, all to squeeze in getting tax help during your lunch break. Now Taxes is a TurboTax expert who does your taxes for you while you go about your day getting real-time notifications about their progress and the most money back guaranteed. Now this is Taxes, Intuit TurboTax. Get an expert now on TurboTax.com. Only available with TurboTax Live Full Service. Real-time updates only in iOS mobile apps. See guarantee details at TurboTax.com/guarantees.
Oh, before I turned off the water, I picked up the cloth, right? And a centipede just popped up and I lost my shit. Like, truly, I was like...
I remember this.
Absolutely not. So I freaked out. Mm-hmm. Forget the water. At this point... The freaking Atlantic Ocean.
She left the sink on, guys. Just remember this.
Mind you, it's like 4:30, okay? Of course, I'm in full-on tears. Mm-hmm. And I'm calling mom because I'm like, what am I going to do? I'm home alone. So I call my mom. I'm like, you need to come home now. There is an intruder in the house. I'm going to die. She's like, what? There's someone in the house? I'm like, yes. Who? A centipede. She's like, girl, shut up. Like, I'm driving. And I'm like, yeah, drive faster. Mm-hmm. May Allah forgive me because I left that water running for the last hour.
She wasted an hour's worth of water. You better have paid for that water bill.
And then she came home.
Yeah.
And she looked at me and she's like, I didn't raise no sissy. But anyway, she came home.
The fact that is that centipede was probably long gone an hour ago.
Did she find it?
I'm pretty sure it would not have just stuck around there.
Do you want to actually hear my worst?
What you going to do?
My worst nightmare?
What?
Once upon a time, mm-hmm. this was like maybe like 6-ish years ago, mm-hmm. my parents took a trip to the States for a week. And I was so excited because I'm like, ooh, home alone.
By yourself?
Yeah. They left
How old were you again?
6 years ago. I was old enough.
Oh, 6 years ago. Okay.
Yeah. But of course, mm-hmm. when they left, mm-hmm. it's like every fear imaginable just decided to, I had to face my fears that week.
You know why?
Almost every day of that week, a centipede appeared in the house.
You know what I was imagining? I'm imagining that the only reason you saw them that week is because every time your parents were around, they would just kill it and never tell you.
Yeah, actually, that's true.
I feel like they would just not tell you because they knew how you'd react.
Oh, yeah. They know that I'm, like, deathly afraid. Mm-hmm. So a lot of times, like, shout out to them. Mm-hmm. They would just kill it and not say anything. Yeah. Sometimes I would see it, like, wrapped up in the tissue in the garbage. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh, my God, there was a centipede in the house. And so this time, and I don't know if y'all know about these, like, I don't even want to make Amir put a photo here because they're so ugly. Mm-hmm. And which I don't know one? If the photos of the centipedes.
Oh, yeah, that's fine. I'll put it all over the screen.
Why would you do that? I'm not fine. Watching this episode if you do that. Like, that's weird. Don't do that. I don't support that because I don't know if anyone else also has a fear. Why are we going to trigger them?
But wait, if you see a picture of it, you should be fine, no?
No, I can't look at Amir.
What?
It's a phobia.
But it's a picture of it.
I know. I can't do it.
Maybe.
Trust me. I've tried to join support groups for this.
No.
Yes, it's real.
How about if you, like, have like a cartoon made of it where you can humanize the centipede?
I can't.
I feel like they humanize it for you, then you'll like it more. Yeah.
Have you seen?
I'm gonna go to AI. I'm gonna say make
absolute Amir.
Make a cartoon, a version of a centipede. I wonder if I can find it right now. If I did it.
But that week, I think I actually killed about 3 centipedes that week.
Yeah.
And I've never been so scared in my life.
So you can overcome the fear.
No,
then.
It was a fight or flight moment, and I chose fight. Usually it's flight, but I knew that if I left the house,
yeah,
who's gonna kill it then?
So why don't you just keep that mindset going for like any future cases when you have it, when you see it? I mean,
because you can't always control which one you're gonna pick when you're in fight or flight mode.
Yeah,
it's whatever your
can't
body.
Can't you like psych yourself up? Maybe you need more pre-workout for me.
I don't know, but then my dad after because I. Y'all don't think I called my dad from the States like, you need to come home now.
No
like,
way.
Of course I did.
Yeah, it's easier to call Sebri at that point.
I don't know why I never called him. Because he would have laughed at me too.
Yeah, he probably would have.
But then my dad bought me this. It was like a bug, like a, you know, those like extreme bug sprays that shoot from afar.
Oh,
like Raid. Like basically yeah. Like a different version of Raid. So now I just have that on defense.
Anywhere do you have one in your room?
I have it in my office. I keep it there. Not that they're like the thing is, I know.
Yeah.
When it's like, yeah, when it's rainy, that's when they appear. So my parents know if it rains, you better not open that door and leave it open.
It's coming from someone who has a bunch of plants in a room. Don't plants like attract bugs?
I'm okay with like, I don't really see spiders that often.
How are you
like,
with ladybugs?
I love ladybugs.
Okay. Why do you like ladybugs versus like, is it just how they look?
They're cute. I used to collect them and bring them home all the time. My mom would get so mad at me.
Have you ever seen like what a ladybug looks like up close?
Yeah, I look at them like this.
Okay. Yeah. I don't know what it is about ladybugs that their PR is like amazing.
I know.
Because they're the only bug that everybody has no problem with them being around. I don't think I've ever seen someone who's like scared of ladybugs.
No, because they fly.
I guess that I barely ever see them fly. That's the thing. I swear they're just lazy because... there are ladybugs that come into the house. There's like a specific window where I guess they're small enough to crawl through.
Yeah.
And I pick them up. I touch them. I roll them. They don't do nothing.
They're pretty chill.
Yeah. Maybe that's why, because they're pretty chill.
I've definitely like, I've brought them home. Mm-hmm. I would pick a leaf from outside, put them on like a bowl of water and just watch them sit and float on the
water. What?
Yeah, I was really, I used to like
that's
bugs
like when
you
used to collect
kid.
Caterpillars and then they would all disappear like the next day.
Caterpillars, I wasn't crazy about them. Snails, I loved snails.
Snails?
Yeah, it was weird. I used to always like watch them and poke their little eyes.
You're feeling a lot.
You know when they like stick their eyes out? Don't you ever poke them just to see them like,
low key, I did
you see? Because they just like.
Yeah, they like retract and then they come slowly back out.
Like, poke.
That's such a weird, like, if you think that's like very alien. If you were the size of a bug, like, you would feel like you're in an alien world just from the way these bugs look.
Now that I'm thinking about it, these bugs must be so terrified of us. Imagine like these giants just like poking you
now,
in the
now,
eye.
Now keep that mindset going. You know, not ladybugs probably think that. I'm just saying you're literally 1,000 times bigger than them.
My thing is
100, at least 100.
My thing is the world is a vast place. Yeah. Why are you confining yourself into my home? You don't pay rent here, so why are
Sara,
you here?
Sara, remember, we took over their home, okay?
Where?
We do not own the land, okay? It goes back to the Aborigines, you know?
Aborigines?
aboriginals. You know what I meant to say, okay? And then you pour that with the bugs, okay?
No, but like, how old is a centipede really?
How long do centipedes live for?
I don't want to know.
You should know that by now. I feel like you should know everything about centipedes.
All I know is that whenever I see an adult one.
How long do centipedes?
When I see an adult or a baby, I know it has family members and I need to look for them. So I just do my due diligence. Even to this day. What? Don't tell me. How is it like?
7 years?
Seven?
While hiding in dark and moist areas of your home, centipedes can live up to 7 years and are known to lay eggs in damp soil, like the damp soil in your room, in your plants.
Fear. Huh?
During the spring and summer seasons. Mm-hmm. It takes almost 5 to 6 weeks during the colder months to develop into adults, which is when you begin to see them when it's warm. So, 7 years.
Did you see a photo of them?
They might have been there longer than you have.
Did you see the photo of them?
No. I didn't. I just searched the... Yeah, let me see.
Like, they're not nice looking.
Should I show you a picture?
No.
Okay. They don't... The thing is, I agree with you. They
do like
don't
a quick,
look nice.
Like, turn. Ah! No. Amir, now you're giving me goosebumps. I feel uncomfortable.
But they're actually like, the thing is, I agree with you. They're like really weird, especially these ones have like, it seems like it's unnecessary to have that many legs.
Yeah, they have like different sized legs.
Yeah.
That's why I don't like it. Like some of them are long and they stick out like that. Like, ugh.
I know.
I'm sweating now. Like just from looking at that photo. You've triggered my fight or flight.
Think ladybugs. Think roly polies. Or not roly. What do they call them? Americans call them roly polies. What do we call them?
The potato bugs?
Potato bugs. Is it potato bugs?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't like those either.
Why?
Because they're the cousins of centipedes.
What?
They remind me of
them. They mostly resemble like... Well, I always thought of them as like tiny armadillos.
The ones that roll, right?
Yeah.
When you scare them?
Yeah. Because Americans, whoever's listening from America, you probably call them roly-polies. We call them potato bugs. I don't know why we call them potato bugs. Maybe because when they're stretched out, they look like potatoes.
Yeah, why do we call them potato bugs?
I don't
bugs?
Know. I feel like Canadians have like some weird names like... How we call, they call Smarties, we call it Rockets.
Oh,
and like, right, they call it Pop, or no.
They call it Soda.
They call it Soda, we call it Pop.
Yeah.
Or Coke.
Or Coke, yeah.
Which actually, we can't call it Coke anymore, okay?
Why not?
Huh? Because of the whole, I don't know, aren't they supposed to be like canceled or something like that? I don't know. Oh. Someone's canceled. Yeah. Okay, so, Sada brought up something. I actually wanted to talk about this a while ago.
Yeah, I could have sworn we had it listed on a previous like episode, but
it's
never.
It's unrelated to everything we were just talking about. It's just
we're gonna take it serious for a second.
Huh? It's not that serious.
It's not that serious.
We can make it serious if we wanted to.
Have you guys heard?
Yes.
Of the South African singer named Tyla. Mm-hmm. So she
the industry plant.
Why do you keep calling her an industry plant?
Because
she like
plant.
Blew up overnight, right? And so everyone thinks that she's an industry plant. I don't know, maybe. But I think she referred to herself in an interview in the past as a colored woman. Mm-hmm. And obviously it hit like U.S. media and people lost their shit because of the historical definition of what colored means in America. Now... Obviously, there are two sides to this, right? Like, on the American standpoint, like, you can kind of understand why some people are upset. It's because in the past, when racial segregation was very prominent in the U.S., African-American, or, like, if your race was just black, you were referred to as colored. Mm-hmm. Or if you weren't, like, if you were white, then you were white. And so the segregation was always, like, white versus colored. Mm-hmm. And there's a negative connotation, I guess, with that word. But in South Africa, colored is like a totally different definition because they also have the white race. Mm-hmm. They have colored and then they have, is it black there too? Yeah. Now, I think for her, she actually recently was on the Breakfast Club with Charlamagne. And he tried to ask her.
Oh, did he? I never saw that.
Oh, you never saw that clip? No. So he asked her about that and her... Mm-hmm.
Can I see the video?
Yeah. I would pull it up.
Let me try and pull it up real quick.
School me on these debates that they be having about your identity as a South African colored person. What does that even mean?
Can we not? Por favor.
Oh, I like that. We keeping that in the interview too.
No,
I like when they talk from the back and say we can't. I like that. I like the character. That's good. That's even better.
So at first, the controversy was that, you know, Charlamagne asks her about her comment of calling herself colored. Mm-hmm. I think it was like her publicist that said, like, let's skip over that question. And yeah. she actually ended up making a post about it. Mm-hmm. Let me see if
but,
I can.
Hmm. Okay. After watching that clip, that kind of answers the other thing I mentioned, the initial thing I mentioned about her being an industry plant. Mm. That's like the biggest tell that she's an industry plant because she's so manufactured in that to the point where, like, even when answering, when he asked that question, she didn't like act like a normal person, be like, oh, you know, my PR says, blah, I can't answer that question, blah, like that. She literally just didn't even like show any emotion. She just looked at her PR and looked back. And then when he's like, you know, following up, like just to see, get any comment, she just looked back again, right? So she's essentially just like repeating whatever her PR team told her to say or whatever. She like everything is very manufactured and like what how she answers her questions. I feel I'm sure she can show her personality and she does, but I think that was like the biggest tell that she is in a sense like the industry is pushing her to and a lot of her it kind of loses a lot of that authenticity.
I might actually kind of disagree with you only because she's really young still. Like, mm-hmm. I think people think she's a lot older than she is. I think she's like 21 or something.
She is, yeah.
And so a lot of celebrities have media training. Mm-hmm. Maybe she's still going through that. And so she's heavily relying on her PR team that's attending these interviews with her.
Yeah.
But it's possible that they probably prepped her before the interview and said, like, if they ask you about 1, 2, 3 topic, like, don't speak on it. Or look to us for guidance on how to answer. Mm-hmm. And so, because I think the purpose of a PR team is basically to ensure that, yeah, I know some people say bad press is still good press because at least you're getting attention. But when it comes to some like the topic about race and like that type of controversy, I think people would rather avoid being in that.
Yeah.
And it's already happened to her before, so they're probably just trying to like avoid it now.
But they should have had an answer already ready for that. Like they should know that that's going to be, especially if you're going into an interview with Charlamagne of all people.
He actually
was going to ask the like direct questions that everybody has on their mind.
He actually gave her advice after the interview that ended up getting like he kept it in the clip. Yeah, about like how to navigate answering tough questions. I think it's actually in this clip.
Oh, it's in this clip? Okay, let me see.
Do you want me to read you what she says first?
Okay, let's see what her response was.
Should I play it in here or are you just going to like play the clip? I can send you this to include it.
Oh, does she say something or is it just written down?
She addresses it like on a post.
Yeah.
Like after the interview, but in terms of what he says.
Can you read the post first?
So she says, "Yo guys, never denied my blackness. I don't know where that came from." She said, "I'm mixed with black/Zulu, Irish, Mauritian, Indian, and colored in South Africa." And colored, yeah, that's what she
put. Oh, okay.
I don't know. She said, "In South Africa, I would be classified as a colored woman, and in other places, I would be classified as a black woman. Race is classified differently in different parts of the world. I don't expect to be identified as colored outside of South Africa by anyone not comfortable doing so because I understand the weight of that word outside of South Africa. But to close this conversation, I'm both colored in South Africa and a black woman. As a woman for the culture, it's and not or."
What?
It's and
become dyslexic?
Oh, she's saying it's and not or.
Okay.
I think.
No, I'm good.
I don't know. And then with that being said, I don't know what Asambe means, but Asambe.
Asambe must be like a South African like send off or whatever.
Possibly, but here's what he says to her.
All right, Tyler. Wasn't that bad, was it?
No.
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 Good?
I'm good. Why are you guys?
Oh, we got some more
because the label. I want you to know this for other interviews, right? Oh, when they go in and they tell like the interviewers what to say and what not to say, this and that, that's what makes it awkward.
Yeah. I'm not. Are you awkward?
No.
I'm not awkward. Mm-hmm.
You want to see all the questions they told us not to ask?
Leave her alone, man. Stop
this
it.
This one must leave the room.
Stop it. My goodness.
This one must go.
This is the worst ever working with him. I work with him every day. Yeah. Well, Tyler's album is much out
success
right
to
now.
You, Tyler.
Yes, thank girl. You.
Okay, after watching that clip,
yeah,
it even makes okay. So, it may sound like I'm saying it in like a negative light mm-hmm. that she's an industry plant and like, yeah. but it.
Like, what do you mean by that?
Industry plant is that like, her image is very manufactured,
yeah,
and is. It's like they only want people to perceive her in a specific light.
Like very PC.
Very PC, exactly. Where like they want to be able to gather the biggest audience. So you're not going to hear her political opinions. Not going to hear what her thoughts are on something that's not related to what she's trying to sell, essentially. Right? Mm. Which, if for her career, that's most likely going to be a good thing.
Yeah.
Because the less feathers you ruffle,
yeah,
the bigger your audience can be,
mm-hmm.
so you don't have to worry about being canceled by like a specific community, and you can still look to that community for sales and whether it's tickets or like your music, whatever you're trying to sell to the people. So she is manufactured, but like for her specifically, that's going to be a positive because she's going to be she's going to be successful in her own right, and she's less likely to lose an audience out of nowhere for seeing this or that. But like, if you're looking for someone who's authentic, maybe she's not for you, right?
You don't think she's authentic? I feel like she really plays up the, you know, her South African-ness. You can hear it through her music. She kind of mentions it anytime she has an interview. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know. I feel like she tries to be authentic.
But then that puts, for me, that's like, that puts it, that starts to make me question being like, is she saying all that and promoting her South Africanness because she genuinely loves it? Or is she just doing that because her PR said, hey, like South Africa right now is starting to become bigger on the map in the music world. So we should start, you know, selling that more. Be like, you know, talk about your South African more, you know, say your South African phrases, talk about South Africa, but only like in this specific way, right? Don't talk about apartheid and the history of apartheid and the struggles that your people might have gone through in that sense. Like, I don't think I've heard her views on apartheid and all of that. Maybe in this interview she did. I didn't watch the whole thing. Maybe I'll check it out. It's only 20 minutes, which is also something that's kind of weird because most of their podcasts or most of their interviews for The Breakfast Club are like up to 45 minutes to an hour. So the fact that it's very short also makes you understand, not makes you understand, but it, what do you call it?
It's not
it
usual.
It adds to the fact that like it's very manufactured, or like it adds to the idea that a lot of this is very manufactured. And like even at, I think Charlamagne mentioned like, yeah, you know, they gave us a whole page of questions we should not ask.
And he still asked one of them anyway.
Yeah, exactly. Because that's just who he is. He doesn't like that, right? So, it honestly, in the end of the day, it's going to work out for her. I feel like having a very manufactured image, like I mentioned, is going to work out for her. Just in general, the public will eventually see how manufactured that person is, and they kind of lose interest. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, hopefully as she grows and becomes older and, like, you know, becomes more, not self-aware, but like
more experienced, more seasoned,
and like is more comfortable being herself, then we get to see the real Tyla.
Yeah.
And yeah, you know, I'm just saying overall that let's get back to the actual conversation of being colored, right?
Yeah.
Because like you mentioned, I still want to know what they exactly mean by color, because when you're listing off her background, at least when she wrote it in that thing, she mentioned like, you know, I'm like Mauritius, Irish, half African, half white, maybe, or some a little bit white. Well, I guess the Irish would be the white part. But then she also mentioned colored. What?
So colored
mm-hmm.
for people in South Africa,
mm-hmm.
it just means people of a mixed race ancestry.
Okay.
But outside of South Africa, obviously, the term colored is used in a more negative way.
Yeah.
But in South Africa, if you're mixed of some mm-hmm. sorts, then you're considered colored.
Yeah. Then in the sense of that colored comment, or like how she refers to herself as colored, I feel like Americans are just wilding out. Like they forget that America is not the only country on the map.
That's how Americans are though. Like I hate on them,
mm-hmm.
but a lot of times it's very much, it's giving main character syndrome.
It is. They forget. Like, I think a funny example of this is very like out of left field, but there is a red pill guy who's using numerology to help his case on why like the nuclear family is supported by numerology.
Okay.
You know, nuclear family is like, you know, a husband, wife, two kids kind of thing, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he tried to support it with numerology, but using English as a word. So, like, he was like, you know, number one is A in the alphabet, right? Which is for alpha. And B and women are number two, right? And two equals B in the alphabet. And B is for, and he said B is for the B word.
I thought he was going to say beta.
No, and also for beta. But he said the B word. And
beep.
That's, yeah, and he said that's for the wife, right?
What?
And he's like, three is for the kids or something. Or yeah, no, for the children. Because C is the third letter in the alphabet. So C is for the children. And then if you add those together, it's 1 + 2 + 3 = 6. And six, what is that letter in the alphabet? F. And F is for family.
I'm sorry, I'm laughing because like that's so...
And then someone who's reacting to the video is like, so if I did this in like Arabic, it would not work.
No, literally though, like,
or any other language, this numerology. And the thing is that I support the nuclear family, or the idea of the nuclear family. But like when you start trying to justify it or like make it seem like it's that something that's like destined to be through numbers, then you start like you losing the plot. Is that what the saying is?
He's reaching for that.
Yeah, you're really reaching for that one. So that was just a funny example of how like Americans forget that there's other language, let alone the other country, like there's other languages out there.
Yeah.
So that's going back to the colors comment. What happened? Oh, the ice cream truck? Oh, that's my dad's phone.
Is it?
Yeah, this guy plays it. He blasts it. Like,
I got excited.
just another side note here. Have you guys noticed your parents have been like getting more and more addicted to these apps and these phones?
Mm-hmm.
Like to the point, and they haven't built up the like phone courtesy that we have over the years.
I think everyone can relate to this.
Yeah, and
there's
like
no spatial awareness.
Last night was like the biggest example of it, or at least like the most obvious example of it, where my mom, we were driving back from the Islamic Center. And, like, we had three kids in the back. I'm driving. I'm, like, listening to, like, an Islamic podcast at the time. And my mom, with full blast, is listening, has, like, TikTok. And she's, like, you know how they hold the phone, right? They hold one hand and they go like this, like, one finger. and it's, like, even if they don't like the video, I don't know why, they watch through the whole thing. The whole thing. It's the most, like, manufactured thing. Like, you know... I thought, you know how every time you see on TikTok, not every time, but every once in a while you get a TikTok video or maybe an Instagram video where these people are like acting very weird. They're putting in sound effects of their reactions, but it's not really their reactions. And like the acting is so over the top. Yeah. You're like, who falls for these videos? Like, and it's supposed to be like someone giving charity and like someone's doing something bad and it's supposed to be real, but it's not really real because they're overreacting, whatever. And it's our parents. They're falling for these videos. My mom is literally making comments. And not even my mom. Everyone. Mm. People I've seen have been making comments as they're reacting to the video. Being, oh my God, how? Oh, mashallah. And it's the most manufactured fake video I've seen on the internet. I'm like, who's falling for these? And then I found out that it's them.
Yeah.
I realize now why those videos have millions of views. It's because there's millions of parents out there and elderly people watching these videos and believing them.
I can tell by the way you're telling this story, you were heated last night.
Yeah, because I'm trying to listen to a podcast, like an Islamic lesson. Like, I'm really interested in what's going on, and I just hear this blasting on side, full volume and everything, just scrolling, and she watches through the whole thing.
Yeah,
the whole thing, and it's a real epidemic. Okay,
it is.
It's something that's I've noticed a lot more recently.
This is them. I'm not wearing my glasses today, but usually their glasses are like at the tip of their nose.
Yeah.
And I'll show you an example. They'll do this. They'll be like,
I'm pronouncing that right. And I have all the...
You know, I was 3 years old.
It's just as loud too, right next to your ear. All the time.
The only
unrealistic thing about that is that you have to watch the whole video.
That, and I think my angle was too high. This is actually, if you're watching the YouTube video, is this not your parents?
Mm-hmm. And you're holding your hands wrong. You have to go like this.
Sorry.
There, you can't like hold your fingers. But I don't know
it's
why.
Like that. You have. you have to leave enough space for your index like pointer finger, mm-hmm. but you have to support it with your thumb.
Yeah.
And then you're just like, you have to, you also have to do like that, like
scrunch like, face look or what?
Yeah, like you're kind of like, you know, squinting halfway because mm-hmm. you're wondering like, what am I watching, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah.
Yeah, my dad, my mom.
My dad, my mom.
They've all fallen to it, man. I'm sure all your parents have too. It's getting bad out here, man. We gotta start teaching them some phone courtesy.
And it's also like the settings too, right? Like mm-hmm. we could be in public.
Yeah.
They don't care. Mm-hmm. They're like, I'm like, guys. Like I bought my
That's
parents.
That's what I'm saying, phone etiquette, man.
I bought them both AirPods.
Really?
Did they use them? No. We could be in public.
Yeah.
At Costco.
Mm-hmm.
Anywhere really. And everyone has to hear their phone. And mm-hmm. I'm like, guys, please. Like, just.
And they have some weird algorithms, man.
They have very weird algorithms. Yeah. Like, I don't.
It's a lot of those over the top videos because they keep falling for them.
Yeah, and then sometimes, like, my mom will send me things, mm-hmm. and I'm just like...
She's sending you stuff now?
On Instagram? Yeah, she knows how to DM really? Videos. Yeah.
I haven't taught my mom that yet. So
she But your mom, she's loyal, though. Our moms, they watch all of our clips.
Oh, yeah, they definitely do. But then my mom will watch it and make comments, be like, why is she wearing that today? What is this?
Yeah, like, one thing... Mm-hmm. Our heads will never blow up and be really big, and we mm-hmm. won't. I don't think we'll ever be arrogant because our moms.
They're the Haram police.
They consume our content. They will always call us out.
Yeah.
And shout out to them for keeping us humble, I guess. Mm-hmm.
Wait, I completely sidetracked the colored conversation.
We did.
I think we made our point there, though. It's that, like, there's no real issue here. People just have to understand the context. Context matters in all these cases.
But I also think, like, because we were talking about this before mm-hmm. we started filming, like, I actually believe that race is a social construct.
It is, yeah.
Yeah, like, you know, whether we're talking about racism from, like, the American lens mm-hmm. where, you know, the lighter your skin is, the better of a person mm-hmm. you are, or, like, the better your qualities are. It's very...
But I think it's something... that humans just naturally do. They need to find some way to distinguish between why my people mm. are better than your people, or why my people are different than your people. And ultimately, when arrogance is involved, like, why we're better than you. Because, like, let's take Ethiopia as an example. Mm-hmm. How many different ethnicities are there?
Yeah.
And how many times are the different ethnicities fighting against each other?
That's
trying to
true.
Fight for power.
Yeah.
Right? Whether even it's a minority or a majority, they all think that they're better than each other. Even if you go anywhere in the world, right? Even the out of community, there are differences like that. Like, there are segregations. Mm-hmm. There's segregation within segregation. Like,
yeah,
you could have I'm trying to think of an example. Like, there's a segregation between, let's say, Arabs specifically, because I just have this example in my mind, where you have, like, I don't know, Arab Lebanese versus, like, Arab Syrian or something. Mm. But then within Lebanon, you have, like, different factions within there that,
like,
separate
each
other.
What
area
you're from. And yeah.
And within those factions, there's different factions, right? So mm-hmm. just people just naturally gravitate towards this separation of, in some manner. I think just the biggest one and the most obvious one that we have to deal with, and, you know, the world in general is dealing with, is the whole black versus white situation.
But I think it's even beyond that, because, like, and this is a whole topic, like, mm-hmm. I feel like we could dedicate a whole episode to this, but even if it's like yes, there's the black versus white, mm-hmm. but then even within the black community,
oh, yeah. Africans versus black people.
Yeah. And then there's, like, light skin versus dark skin mm-hmm. versus medium
That's
skin.
That's what I'm saying. There's segregation segregation. Is that the right word? Not segregation. Sorry. I'm using the wrong word. Okay. There's
racism?
Not racism.
What are you trying
but
to
some
say?
Type of split. I forget what that word is that I'm looking for. As usual.
Yeah.
But
I don't know what you're
for. Just because I can't think of a better word. Let's say there's, like, always, like, some type of, like, segregation factor or whatever within groups, like, I mentioned, without a,
like, a
same thing in the black community.
Yeah
So maybe that would have been a better example because it's more related to us.
Yeah,
but within the black community is always, like, separation between even skin tone, like, but that might just be something that's kind of
that's related to the white
related
versus
to the
black,
yeah, the white versus black,
right?
Thing, like, when it comes to skin tone,
the lighter your skin is,
yeah,
like,
the Africans versus blacks, I mean, within the black community, the Africans versus like African Americans.
Yeah.
That's a big split as well.
Mm-hmm.
And then now this is coming into play whether you're dealing with the colored people now.
Yeah.
And whether they identify. And she even clarified, like, I do outside of South Africa, I realize that, like, I normally do identify as black, or like she said that, like, I understand the implications of calling myself colored, so I would consider myself the black outside of South Africa
for sure. Yeah,
yeah. But I think she would be even chastised by her own South African community if she did consider herself to be just black in South Africa.
I think they, you know, maybe she's bringing light to this topic too, right? Because mm-hmm. it's possible that when she first emerged into the U.S. like mm-hmm. didn't realize that outside of South Africa, like, not everyone uses the term colored.
Mm-hmm.
Like, now she knows, and so it could just be like awareness about what's happening, like the same way that in the U.S. mm-hmm. they probably assume that everyone should know about them and
yeah.
their social constructs, but maybe for her it's the same thing where maybe yeah. she didn't know
exactly.
and now she does because she's been like not canceled but like
young.
Called out for it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So maybe she does need a PR team.
Yeah, so she has one. That's why she's got one.
And that's why she's an industry plant.
Oh, God.
Okay, guys. We really do have to go right now
because
we're already late. We went on a little bit longer than we were supposed to. So I'm just going to end it here. Thank you again for watching. Make sure to subscribe to the channel. Hit the like button if you like this one. I know this one's a little bit shorter. We're trying to give you something here, okay?
Yeah.
But inshallah, if you liked it, hit the like button like I mentioned there. Follow us on all the platforms, Cousin Connection Pod, Instagram, TikTok. And inshallah, you'll have another episode next week. We'll see. There's a lot going on, okay? But we'll see y'all. Until then, we'll see y'all later.
Bye.
Some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a huge inheritance. But a phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard for a new one on us. Just trade in any phone from our top brands with select unlimited plans. $829.99 purchase with new smartphone line on select unlimited plans. Minimum $90 per month with auto pay plus taxes and fees for 36 months required. Plus $830 trade-in slash promo credit applied over 36 months. Trade-in terms apply. Payoff phone requires smartphone purchase and port-in with new smartphone line on select plan. Must provide most recent bill showing payoff amount of eligible phone. Additional terms apply.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.